patience. Yud Zayin Maor Cheshvan, Friday the 30th of October, Rabbi Yohanan Hughes, Bris at 8 days or 20 years, the ex-footballer who followed Avraham's journey.
There was this primary school teacher called Elizabeth who had her class, her year one class, in front of her, and they went out to play for playtime in the playground, and they come back in and she says, Elizabeth said, and had kind of shown up, she says, now children, I want to give you a spellings test. If you can tell me what activity you got up to at playtime, and if you write it on the board and spell it correctly, you'll get a lollipop. So the first child who offered up what she did at break time was Penelope. Penelope, what did you do at playtime? So she said, well, miss, I played in the sandbox. Great, she says. If you can spell sand on the blackboard, or the whiteboard, or whatever it is, then you'll get a lollipop. So she writes it correctly. Lollipop is given out. The next child who offers up is Tommy. So, Tommy, what did you do during break time? He says, I played in the sandbox with Penelope. So he said, well, if you can spell box on the board, then I'll give you a lollipop as well. So he said, B-O-X, he spells it on the board, gets a lollipop. Next up is Abby Goldberg. He says, what did you do, Abby, during break time? So he says, I wanted to play in the sandbox with Penelope and Tommy. But they just hurled rocks at me. They hurled rocks at you, says the teacher. That sounds like outright anti-Semitism to me. If you can write outright anti-Semitism on the board... Thank you. Yes, I got it. Okay. Very good. It's good to be back. Vayera elav Hashem beloine mamre. And God did appear to Avram Be'eloni Mamre. An appearance of Hashem is quite a significant thing. What is not so significant is the geographical location at where Hashem exactly appeared to Avram Avinu. Why on earth do we have to know that it was in the plains or the terebinths of Mamre that Hashem appeared to Avram Avinu after his bris milah? Not my question, it's a question of Chazal. And Chazal give us the answer, Rashi quotes it, that before Avraham Avinu got his milah, his bris milah, before he did the mitzvah, he went to a consultancy and asked three different people whether he should go and have this done. He went to three brothers, three men he'd had dealings with in his milchomas previously. Their names were Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre. The first two, Oner and Eshkol, told Avraham Avinu, what are you doing, you nutcase? This is mental. This cannot stand. Do not have this bris milah. They may have been on the side of the court in Cologne of recent years who said that bris milah is barbaric. How can you go ahead with this? Don't do it, Avram. The third brother was Mamre. And what did Mamre say? So the Midrash tells us. Mamre was Machazek, Avram Avinu. He said, in Ur Kestim, your hometown, Hashem is with you. He protected you in Nisei Nisim, Niflois, he'll be with you again. Don't worry. Do the mitzvah of bris milah and you'll be fine. And that's why, says the Midrash, the Pasuk tells us the geographical location where Avraham Avinu had the appearance of Hashem, had the Gilui Shechina, because Mamre was the third consultant, the third brother, who said, go ahead and do it. He was Machazik. He encouraged Avraham Avinu to do the mitzvah. And because of that zechus, that's why the Pasuk mentions Ve'eloinei Mamre. The Sfas Emes is perplexed and needs guidance. And he gives his own guidance as to why this is logical. He says, and I quote, V'lomo nichtav zeh, u'ma shevach l'mamre she'siyo lomul, ki ma ichpas le. Which basically means this. Imagine this. Mamre was a goy. Mamre served the Avodah Zorah. Mamre may have been someone who just come back from the football. in, let's say, a bath full of goat's blood, throwing turnips in a totem pole in the service of his Avodah Zorah. In walks a 99-year-old Rosh Yeshiva with Baba Basra underneath his arm, saying, "Would it be advisable, dear Mamre, if I were to take this knife to myself?" And what does Mamre say? "Sure, Rabbi, whatever you say, go ahead. It's your free will." And Chazal tells us the Torah accentuates Mamre and tells us that the Gilui Shechina was in that place, in the fields of Mamre, in the plains of Mamre, because he did such a great thing. He told Avraham Avinu, "Go ahead, cut yourself. Bavakasha." What did he do that was so praiseworthy? And why did Mamre even care about Avraham Avinu's spiritual destiny? This was the biggest priest in the area, a chieftain, a Goyish chieftain. Why on earth did Mamre stick out? Manishtana ho'ach hazeh mechol ha'achim. His brother said, "Avraham, what are you doing? You're mental. It's barbaric. It's a terrible practice." What was different about Mamre, and why was he so praiseworthy? This is what the Sfas Emes asks. And the answer is quite profound. He says this. There is such a thing as Schadenfreude in German. Schadenfreude, which is harm joy. The American writer Gore Vidal was the poster boy for this idea. And he says, and I quote, "It is not enough to succeed. Others must fail." To top it off, he remarked once, "Whenever a friend succeeds, a little something inside me dies." Let's keep other people at bay. If other people can fail, Baruch Hashem, I can feel better about myself. Oner and Eshkol had Schadenfreude. They said, when Avraham Avinu said, "Should I have this bris milah, should I go ahead with the mitzvah?" They told him no. Because they understood, says the Sfas Emes, that if Avraham Avinu has the bris, it will create the havdalah between Avraham and his spiritual progeny and his descendants to them. They're all going around together as a friendship group, as a fraternity. And Avraham Avinu wants to step out of that fraternity and launch himself into a career of Kedusha, a destiny of mammoth proportions, to become an Eved Hashem and to spark off the nation that will become the chosen people. And we're still here today, trying to change the world for the better. And because of that Havdalah, they were threatened. Avraham Avinu, you want to be great? Well, that makes me feel bad. Don't have the bris. Don't be different. Don't have the courage to step away from society and reach for a higher goal. Stay in the dirt with us. Mamre, though, somehow understood that this was the way it had to be. That Avraham Avinu was his friend. Maybe they went down the pub for the odd pint of Foster's.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's destined for greatness. There's something different about Avraham. There's something special there. There's a Kedusha, there's a Tahara. And I'm not going to stand in his way. I'm going to lose a friend. There'll be a Havdalah. But I know it has to be that way. Paradoxically, says the Sfas Emes, because Mamre subordinated himself to this truth, he was mavatl es atzmoi. He was some atzmoi but sad. He put his ego to one side. And we know what ego stands for. Edge God out. He put himself to one side. He was mavatl, his own covered. So Hashem Dafka appears to Avraham Avinu after the bris, be'eloinei Mamre. He understood that Dafka, because Avraham was leaving, that meant it was for the better. He knew that that group couldn't give Avraham what he searched for, what he desired. His spiritual thirst would never be quenched hanging out with Oner, Eshkol, Mamre and all of the club. He had to move away. He had to have this Havdalah. He had to have the Bris Milah. And the amazing thing is, the Sfas Emes says that every single Jew can learn a Musa Haskel from Mamre. He says this, "Ba'al yidei zeh davka, zocha lehiskarei v'nikla b'chelkai." Hashem appeared on Mamre's portion of the land, dafka because of the richuk that he imposed on himself. He was merachik himself from Avram Avinu. He didn't have schadenfreude. He didn't say that others must fail to make me feel good. When a friend succeeds, a little something inside me dies. He had the courage to say no. He says this, V'hoya loy sheiches al yedei zeh harichuk atzmai. His self-subordination, his being mevatel, his own ego, was what caused Hashem to appear to Avram in his portion of the land. Here's the Musa. He says that every single Jew can learn from Mamre's precedent. Mamre knew there was a Klal Yisrael coming from Avram Avinu, his progeny, his spiritual descendants, after the Bris, the family of God. And he was mevatel himself to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, sometimes in life, when we feel a tension between our own ego or our own self-identity and Klal Yisrael, paradoxically, when we mevatel ourselves to the Klal, we become greater. V'tzorich ligmor b'daita, he says, every person must conclude in their brain, in their mindset. She'im yekovet shemayim yosef b'chaveirov, if Hashem's honor will be increased more through other yidden. Who mavatl atzmoy v'chol asher loy, v'al yidei zeh yoichel limtsoy mokum tomid. He says this is what the Midrash Rabbah tells us. Mi shemamayit kovad atzmoy. Someone who reduces his own kovad and is running away from it. Umar b'kvoid shemayim, and wants to increase the honor of heaven. The result is the opposite. Kvoid shemayim misrabah, u'chvoidoy misrabah. Not only will Hashem's kovad be increased, but his own will also expand. I added to this. Mamre had two possibilities in his spiritual DNA. Mamre always makes me think of Zokein Mamre, the rebellious elder. Someone who goes against Klal Yisrael and against the benefit of the Klal. Also, we know that Mamre is also etymologically connected to Mar, bitterness. Just like the schadenfreude that Oner and Eshkol, his brothers, had. He didn't have that bitterness. He could have gone that way. He could have been a Mamre. He could have been Mar and bitter. But what did he do? He followed the other etymological connections to his name, which is Mora, teacher, Loshen Torah, and Mur, Loshen Temura, to change. He appreciated Avraham Avinu's ability to change. Have the Bris Milah. Create the spiritual destiny that you are headed for. Don't let me stop you. Don't let me get in your way. You're destined for great things. I'm not going to stop you. And therefore the Sfas Emes says that we can all learn from Mamre. He started off as the Proster Goy, the chieftain, whose brothers wanted to get in the way of spiritual progress. He becomes the catalyst for the destiny of us and our people. Without Mamre giving the chizuk to Avraham Avinu, who knows where we'd be now. And therefore, Eloine Mamre, Hashem's Megala himself, Eloine Mamre. And here's where it gets rather juicy. Maisa over Simon Labonim. As many of you know, I'm not from around these parts. I'm from a part of the world which is, for me, a paradise. This beautiful oasis off the M4 near Slough. Reading Ir HaKodesh. And there, I was brought up by my non-Jewish father and my Jewish mother, who was a Bas Kohen, and didn't know anything about Judaism, nothing from nothing, until I went to university. No Jewish friends. There were a couple of things, though, that my mother did that made me wonder. She always lit these candles in the wintertime, right around the time when the Hanukkah bush is out. And she also fasted one day a year, and I didn't have any clue why. And there were also some unleavened bread hanging around the house at times. And all of these things you might have thought were tiny, insignificant. Because everything else was completely glatt treif. But these things impregnated me with a curiosity to find out more, that when I came of age of curiosity, I could explore them. And that's where it started there. And of course, Hughes isn't a very Jewish name. Last year I went on a spiritual mission, or a mission, with the chief rabbi in the United Synagogue Rabbinate, Teretz Yisrael. We were staying at a hotel. Hilarious. because the name figured quite significantly. I went into this lift, an elevator, Balaz, and went in the lift, and there were a group of evangelical Christians in the lift. Right, they're staying at the hotel as well. I'm there with my black cat. It was Sphera time, so I was more hirsute than normal. And we all had these name tags on, right? So it said my name. She approaches me, this lady, one of the evangelicals, and says to me, here I quote, "Do you speak English?" I said to her, "I am English." She said, "Is your name Johnny Hughes?" Yep, there's my name tag. She says, "That's amazing. My son's called Johnny Hughes. I'm Penny Hughes." which is ironic. And it made me think about my background. I was supposed to be a footballer, not a rabbi, because I was signed up for Reading and Swindon Town when I was 15 years old. That ended. And as I said, spiritual vacuum, virtually zero Jewish identity. I came to university here in London, sat down in my first law tutorial next to a frum Jew, just came back from yeshiva. He told me, "If your mother's Jewish, you're 100% Jewish." And I was already very curious about my Jewish roots. There was a pull there, an electronic or electromagnetic pull towards the Hebrew letters, Judaism, Jewishness, in the media, the anti-Semitism. I was staying in a hall of residence off Tottenham Court Road near Bloomsbury. And there was a friend of mine who was an economics student. His father was president of Shell Brazil. And he was there, and he had a friend who was dating a Jewish girl. I think she was called Anna, and she'd fought in the IDF. She was studying in England. And this Goyisha guy was dating this secular Jew. Anyway, one Sunday afternoon, they left the heating on, and it was a surprisingly, unexpectedly hot day. And the boyfriend, the Goyisha boyfriend, comes up and goes to see my next door neighbour. And all the doors are open because it is sweltering. And I can hear the conversation. And there's me just getting into understanding what Judaism is, just being told that I am part of this club, part of this nationhood. And I hear the boyfriend, and I'll never forget this. He says to my friend, "Oh, it's so hot in here. I'm hotter than a Jew in Auschwitz." Now, he said, "I'm hotter than a Jew in Auschwitz." Now, for me, you might have thought that's incredibly a negative experience. But in fact, my curiosity and my determination to understand my roots was increased and magnified al yedezer, by way of the sinner, the fact that he was dating this girl but yet harbored these thoughts, made me so curious. What is it to be a Jew? Why is there such a hatred? Why is there this Havdalah? Why was there an Avraham Avinu? And so I started to search. But there was one thing, as I moved into Golders Green the second year of college, and there was one thing that I learned more and more and started to take on more and more, and throwing myself into Yiddishkeit, Shabbos, Kashrus, Talmud Torah. There was one thing my parents had forgotten to do when I was born. A rite of passage, which is something which I had to do. And I'll never forget the Sunday morning, it was on Hanukkah. Of course, that was when the Yevonim banned Bris Milah. Just happened to be that I got the resolve to go through with it on Hanukkah. 20 years old, walking up Golders Green Road, thinking, what am I doing? Maybe I should consult three brothers. So I told my dad that I was going to have this done. He was my mamre. Unfortunately, the response wasn't as so enthusiastic as his predecessor, and he was crying on the phone to me. There were tears. Because he sensed the Havdalah that would be created through Bris Milah. You're cutting away from me. It's highly symbolic, and I share this with you because I think it's an angle to help understand what Avraham Avinu went through, and also myself as Sinan Levonim did. It's a continual cycle. He wasn't impressed, but when I went hobbling back to Reading after the ordeal, I was learning a Black Gemara on my dining room table in Reading, and I wasn't wearing a yarmulke because, despite the fact that I was making all these changes in my life, I still didn't want to offend. I knew that it was difficult for them with family and friends around, that it was such an eyesore, so difficult culturally to deal with this alien resident, this resident alien, that I didn't want to stand up. So I'm learning there. I think it was Maccas. Not sure which duff. In walks my dad. In the corner of my eye, I can see my father coming towards me. He was holding something in his hand. Obviously, there had been lots of tension about this metamorphosis that I'd undergone over these last 2 or 3 years. And I'll never forget, he came over to me closer and closer. I looked up, and he was holding my yarmulke.
What?
And he put it on my head. And he said, when you learn, you should wear that. Because he became Mamre. Because sometimes when people see that you're genuine about your belief, there's more respect there than you would imagine. Non-Jews respect Jews, respect Judaism. So, that was a moment of destiny. An Avraham Avinu type of moment with a Mamre there in the background. So we learn from Mamre that if we minimize ourselves, we are zoicha to Shechina. And empowering others and helping others with their Yiddishkeit and their growth, even though we might take a back seat, is something that is empowering. In Anglo-Jewry today, one of the biggest issues is equality. Where taking a backstage role or a supporting role is very unfashionable. To be the one on stage in front of the crowd, to be the one laning, to be the one leading the davening, is uber alles. Because that is the zeitgeist of our generation. What Mamre teaches us is that to take the supportive role creates the honour. That creates the marbe covered. That once Alidei Harichuk Atzmai, says the Sfas Emes, through Mamre saying, you take prime of place, you take pride of place, Avraham, you be the one in the primacy, you be the one to lead and create a new nation. Don't let me hold you back. That made Eloine Mamre the place where Hashem reveals himself to Avraham Avinu. It's a very unpopular idea, this idea of Mamre. To be a Mamre, to be a supporter, to help behind the scenes. But ironically, it's twisted round. That shunning away from your own sense of self creates an even bigger self. Especially Klape Shmaya. So, this is a long story cut short. I'm not going to mention everything. The Bris is a special inheritance. Not many people get to choose it. We get to choose it for the next generation. And to help them follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu is not an easy thing. Because he stood, Avraham Ivri, he stood on one side of the Nahar, Keneged the whole world, and was shouting the whole world can be wrong, is often wrong, and is wrong. He needed to consult the wider society. Another shear in its own right, why? Mamre, though, came to his rescue. You will find Yechidei Skula who will help you on your journey. They will say, wear the yarmulke when you're learning the Black Gemara. And you never know where they may pop up. So that is Maisa Ova Simon Labonim. That's my unloading for the day. Unload the day in the Torah way. It means Hashem, through Avraham Avinu's precedent and through his inspiration, it will inspire us with our children, with our families. Not all of us go through this exact same path. But we all have the Avraham Avinu within us. And in our lives, each of us will encounter an Avraham Avinu moment of choice. Do we take the unpopular route, or do we just go with the flow? And that is the choice every single person has to make. And each person's life is designed in a way where they will encounter the Nisoyim to make that choice of Avraham Avinu. And Mr. Shem, there'll be plenty of Mamres that will encourage us to grow.
Rabbi, so just before Goody speaks, connection finishes today. I want to get some, if I can get a bit more money in, just to give Goody for the sponsorship. You see on the post, next week is sponsored in memory of.